Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. This is going to be part 4 of our series, The Grab Bag. This episode is only going to cover 3 segments, like most Grab Bag segment episodes. So, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called The Grab Bag Part 4. Let's get started. So, first thing I want to briefly touch on is that the left talks a lot about how much they care about minorities, but as I have pointed out in previous episodes, they don't feel the same way about all minorities. Not all minorities are created equal in their eyes. Because, for example, I've already talked about the plight of Jews and Asians when it comes to the educational realm and sometimes employment, and also sometimes being the victims of violence and having the left look the other way. Another thing I'd like to mention is that I can't help but notice that with all their talk about minorities, the left not only does not care about the rights of the Southern people, but vilifies us. I'm not saying this to suggest that we should be coddled and treated like victims who can't do anything for ourselves, because I don't think any group of people should be treated that way. It deprives them of their agency, not only as individuals, but as a group. However, statistically, we have always been a minority. And so, if you're going to talk about minorities, and you're going to use that term, minorities, just as a blanket term, and you're going to say you care about minority rights, you can't also then turn around and vilify a group that is a minority. Not only statistically speaking, but also many people in that group, have believed the mainstream view of history. So if you're going to dig even deeper into that, then those of us who do not believe the mainstream view of history is the gospel truth are even more of a minority. So, as I said, I'm not saying this to suggest that we should be treated like helpless victims, because I don't think any group should be treated that way, and I don't think that just being a minority makes you some sort of sacred class that can do no wrong, no matter which group we're talking about. But that does mean that the left, if they're going to be honest, and they're going to say they care about minorities, they have to include the word some minorities. Although you know that they would never do that because the left is not really honest about a lot of things. It's kind of like that scene in Animal Farm when the pigs take over and then they write on the wall in the barn, it says, some animals are more equal than others. Yeah, that's what I'm reminded of when I think about this topic. And that kind of segues into my next point, which is everybody knows the winners write the history books. And so I think it's very sad that the left calls those of us racist for being proud of our culture and believing in the rights of states to secede. And the fact that they conflate that issue with the issue of slavery. I mean, slavery was an issue, but it was not the only issue that led to that war. And it is not the only issue, by any means, that motivated people to secede in the first place. The reason I bring that up is not only because it's a glaring example of misrepresenting history for all their talk about people needing to know their own history, but also, you know for a fact that if the colonists had lost the American Revolution, you know for a fact that the British would have painted the colonists as only trying to rebel, only trying to break away because they were racist or thisist or thatist. You know that because, not only because of how people talk about the war between the states, but you also know that because even today, in a world where the British did not win the revolution, you have some people, mainly on the left, who call the revolution just a slaveholder's rebellion or just a rich man's rebellion. You can only imagine that if the British had won, they not only would have hung everybody that led the revolution, but they would have also painted the revolution with that same brush. And so another thing that I would like to touch on, which is not related to those two segments, but is still something I'd like to note, is I think it's very sad that when the left wants to justify an immoral behavior and wants to encourage people to adopt it, they will use animals as examples. Like when they talk about same-sex attraction, they'll say, well, animals have been observed in same-sex couplings. Okay, but let me ask you this. Would you condone animals eating their own poop or each other's poop? Would you condone people eating their own children, eating their own young? Would you condone, you wouldn't condone incest. Animals do all of those things. Dogs eat either their own or each other's poop. Hamsters, rabbits, and Christmas Island red crabs, and I'm sure there's other species too that do this, eat their own young. Komodo dragons commit incest. All of these things are graphic, I apologize, but those are things animals do. So it's a bad look when you're trying to justify a behavior or trying to encourage others to adopt that behavior, and you're doing so by citing animals as your examples. It's also a bad look because we were created in God's image. People were created in God's image, and we were given dominion over the earth. So then when you cite animals, you're not only equating us to things that do not bear God's image, but you're also suggesting that we, who have dominion over the earth, should act like those under us. And I'm saying all that not to say that we should disrespect animals. Animals should be entitled to a basic level of humanity and respect. We're supposed to be benevolent to them to a certain extent. Now, I'm not saying that to say we should all be vegan or anything like that, although if you want to, that's your prerogative. But at the same time, we should not adopt the behaviors of the animals. And I would also like to say, on a bit of a lighter note, that when I think about this, it reminds me of a joke I often tell, which is that democracy would never work in the animal world, because if you gather a mouse and three cats together to vote on who's for supper, you can always guess who's going to win, and it's never going to be the mouse, or the mouse is always going to get eaten every time. And I often tell that joke when I'm talking about how a democracy is something that cannot be maintained if it is done by the threat of force. Like if a person becomes president and then after his term is up, he and his entire party are thrown in jail or worse, like happens in some third world countries. And I hope that that never becomes the case here, and I'm kind of scared by some of the developments that I've seen leading in that direction. So I guess it's been 3.5 segments today, because that probably wasn't a full segment talking about the democracy thing, but it is another thing that I felt should be mentioned. So thank you for listening to this episode. I hope that you've enjoyed it, or at least become a bit more informed by it. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, and the RSS feed, and also on iHeartRadio and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X at JFSCPod. And if you want to send us an email, feel free to do so at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and have a blessed day.